Marvin, welcome back to T-Town. I hope you're doing well, sir.
I am. It's a pleasure as always.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about your book, and I want to get to that in a couple of seconds. It's called The Unraveling of a Man Who Bleeds Crimson. Marvin, but before we do that, give me an update on what you're doing these days.
Right now I'm in Atlanta. I actually teach 8th grade special education at Tucker Middle School here.
Are you having a chance to maybe be a little coach on the side, sort of being involved with the game?
Well, I'm not, and the main reason why is one of the things I talk about in the book. I'm actually in the process of completing my doctorate. I'm about 7 months away from doing that.
Amazing. And I respect you, and you and I can talk about one of the reasons why a little bit later. I'm also doing the same, but we got you on to talk about your conversation. It is an amazing one. And Marvin, I think when you think about Marvin Constant, you think about that one play, and I don't want to think negative, but let's sort of walk through a timeline. You grew up in the shadows of Bryant-Denny Stadium, dreaming, I'm sure, to play for the Crimson Tide.
Well, yeah, you know, a lot of people didn't even know that I actually so coached programs in Bryant-Denny growing up. You know, it was like, for me, just a way of getting money. But in the end, when you know, when you're actually in there and watching those guys play and seeing it, you know, just having to stop and just take it all in, I mean, that was an impressive sight to see at an early age.
So now, what years would that have been when you were selling programs inside? I mean, would that have been around the championship game?
Yes, it would have. It would have been around that area. I started, I think it was around 1989 to about 1992 is when I was over there selling coaching programs.
Absolutely. And Marvin, I know you, when you have a chance to visit the Capstone, you still see a lot of young men and women, ladies that sell those programs. And you think about the impact that they're able to make. Just seeing the game, being inside Bryant-Denny Stadium for the first or second time or several times and watching the performance of guys like yourself.
Right. You know, and that's a powerful thing to see at such an early age. I mean, because a lot of people, they'll say and they'll dream about, hey, this is something that I want to do, you know. But for me to actually be able to do it and say that I did it at a high level, that meant more to me than anything else in the world.
You were a blue chipper coming out of Central Tuscaloosa, and we still have a lot of connections with Coach Connor and what he's able to accomplish there here on 58th Street. But going back, you had a tough decision to make because you were highly recruited. Somebody wanted to take you out of sort of the hometown school. Talk about that recruiting process and when you made the decision to attend the University of Alabama.
Well, you know, there were a lot of schools who were actually calling for my services, but the one in particular that stood out most to me was the University of Florida. That's because, you know, I did like Florida growing up as well. So, you know, it was a bit of a love-hate relationship when it came time to make the decision. And, you know, I'll never forget when the coaches from Florida came up to see me. You know, when that jet was out there at the airport in Northport, everybody knew who they were going to see. And, I mean, the phone just rang off the hook. Everybody wanted to know what was going on. But in the end, some of the friendships that I'd made over the years and talking to certain guys and getting to play against them in spring games and track me to other competitions led me to make my decision that Alabama was the best place for me.
You had a chance to play at the University of Alabama, and then we go back to that one snap, that one play. It sort of changed Marvin Constant's life. Talk about that play. What do you remember about the play against LSU?
That play, it was something weird about it. You know, the fact that the play before Kenny Smith had messed up his knee. So, you know, we were all kind of down already about that, the fact that, you know, we knew Kenny was hurt. So then we go out there, and we're all thinking that they're going to run the ball, you know, by them being so close to the goal line. And me, I had the tight end. I knew I had him, but I was playing run because, you know, we all assumed that's what they were going to do. So I actually let my man go. He's actually wide open in the back of the end zone. So if he throws it to him, they'd have won the game. So, you know, when he comes back my way, you know, I came upfield as hard and as fast as I could. And from what I remember, just I pushed off with so much force and came back down with so much force that when I came back down, I just felt like the worst pain in the world, and I knew something was terribly wrong.
Marvin, I think, and I may be quoted incorrectly here, but I've heard doctors, medical personnel, that told me that your knee injury was one of the worst in Alabama history. What did you tear on that particular play?
I tore my ACL, MCL, patella tendon, medial meniscus, lateral meniscus, and my articular cartilage.
Now, am I fair in saying that it is one of the worst knee injuries in maybe not just Alabama history, but one in college football?
I would say that's pretty fair. I mean, when you look down and you don't see your kneecap, you know something's definitely wrong.
Marvin, what type – okay, because I want to walk through – we're talking about the book. Marvin Constant right now is our guest, played for the University of Alabama, and on one snap, on one down, it's all over. The dream of continuing to play for the University of Alabama. At that time, a lot of folks thought that, hey, this guy is a shoe-in to play in the NFL. The book is called The Unraveling of a Man Who Bleeds Crimson. Walk us through sort of your emotions when you were told that all these ligaments were torn in your knee.
I mean, that was one of the most lonely feelings ever. You know, when you hear a doctor tell you you'll walk with a limp for the rest of your life, you'll never run again, you'll never play football again, you'll never do the thing that you grew up being so great at, you'll never do it again. That is one of the loneliest feelings ever. And going a little bit forward in the process, you know, when you have to watch your teammates, your brothers, guys who you love and who you, you know, sacrifice with, you know, year in and year out, watch them play and you're not able to, that is one of the most lonely feelings in the world. That was probably harder to deal with than the actual injury itself.
What kept you going?
Well, it was my love for the game. You know, I just loved playing football. I mean, from an early age, it was the thing that from the first time I stepped on the field, I was great at it. I didn't have to work hard at it. It came naturally. It was just the thing that I felt I was destined to do.
Marvin Constant right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa as we continue to talk about the book that he's been able to put together, The Unraveling of a Man Who Bleeds Crimson. I go back to 1999. That was the year that it happened. I'm correct, right?
That would be correct, yes.
Okay, that was a SEC championship year. I think everybody sort of knows the details. But that one play was a game saver. And I think, you know, I was talking to some Alabama fans today that know about 1999 success, but they don't go back and look at that one play. Now us old-timers that study Alabama football and know the history, we know how important that one play was, but there would be no SEC championship without that one play.
Right. You know, that play, it definitely served its purpose in the season as far as getting us to where we needed to be. But that whole season was a culmination of events. I mean, the fact that, you know, we were able to win the games that we won, you know, going to Florida, ending their home win streak in full on their field, you know, beating them there, that was huge. And winning several other games, I mean, that was big for us. And for me personally, that season, you know, I was putting it all together in a way that many people can't. You know, to string together back-to-back double-figure tackle games the way I was, I mean, to put it all in perspective, I didn't even play the last four games that season and still finished third on the team in tackles. That lets you know the body of work that I had put in going into that.
And a big physical linebacker. Marvin, I know this is it's not important, but I think the speed of your position, because not only did you have the speed, but you also had the size. What did you weigh playing the linebacker position?
I played at 255.
Yeah, it was amazing because you displayed, no doubt, the talents at that position, but the size was there as well. So there wasn't many backs that were going to run over you. Marvin Constant, as we look back, as we look at that one play, you had probably a dream of continuing to play for Alabama, but I'm sure you probably thought about playing on Sunday afternoon as well.
Yes, I did. I mean, from the first time you strap on the cleats and the helmet, that is your ultimate objective, make it to the NFL. You know, that is every young man's dream who has ever played the game. So when you come close to it, and, you know, it's like right there, you know, you almost get it, you know. So, you know, it's almost like dangling that carrot, you know, in front of the rabbit, you know. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of the experiences that I had, you know, they helped to make me a better person. So I got to respect it all, if nothing else, from that point of view.
So your life, and you and I have exchanged a couple of text messages, was really changed on that one play. talk about the pieces and sort of how you're able to restructure that. I know you're going to go a lot deeper in this book, and we'll be able to dive in deeper in what Marvin Constant went through. But talk about how you sort of connected the dots, reconnected those dots with your dreams, and to continue to walk on as not only a football player, but as an individual.
Well, one of the biggest things for me, when the doctor told me I'd never run again and I'd never play football again, you know, I couldn't take that as the reality. For me, I felt it was upon my shoulders as to what would happen going forward. And a lot of people don't know, I went through 5 knee surgeries, and basically that was over a 2.5-3 year period. Ultimately, I ended up, you know, getting the pleasure to go play arena football for a couple of years. And from that, the Dolphins actually brought me in 2005 for a tryout. So a lot of people don't even know that. So I always stuck to what was important to me and getting to my ultimate goal. And after everything I went through to get back to that point to where the Dolphins would even bring me in for a tryout, you know, and to have the success that I had, I mean, that's a blessing within itself. And it took so much hard work and dedication on my behalf to get to that point.
And I remember the play that you came back in, because we do remember 1999, but I don't remember the year, but I know you came back in at a game, and it was inside Bryant-Denny Stadium where you had a chance to go back out on that football field, because the doctors had said, no way, Marvin Constant's not going to be able to play football again. But you received a standing ovation inside Bryant-Denny Stadium. You remember that day?
Yes, that was in 2000. We were playing Ole Miss that day. I played somewhat, but I still wasn't to a point to where I could perform at a high level. You know, it wasn't until I went to Alabama's current team, Dr. Kane. I got to thank him every day of my life. You know, after Dr. Kane worked on me, I mean, I have been perfectly fine. I have never had to ice my knee. I have not had one problem out of my knee since he worked on me. I mean, it is a miracle, the fact that my body responded the way that it did.
Marvin, did you have to rely on faith to get you through this?
I had to rely on faith, family, friends. I had to rely on a lot of things, because emotionally it was rough. You know, again, when you're considered the best at what you do, when you've been on magazines and all over TV your whole life, you know, when this is the norm for you, and then all of a sudden it's gone. You know, it's how you deal with the reality of, now I'm not the center of attention. Now everybody's not talking to me about how I'm their favorite athlete. You know, the cameras are not in front of me like they normally would. How do you deal with the reality? Because that's a completely different reality when you're no longer in front of the camera.
Marvin Constant right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. We're talking about the unraveling of a man who bleeds crimson. Give me some details, and then I want to talk a little Alabama current football with you as well. But give me the details. I know it's a pre-sale information that you're just now releasing. We've got other details that will be released in the coming days. Talk about what information we need to get out to the public to support what Marvin Constant's able to accomplish here.
The website for the pre-sale is amanwhobleedscrimson.com. That's the actual website. And the biggest thing that I want people to take away from this is I wrote this book as a way to reach out to people, because they're going to be athletes, whether they're in high school, college, or whatever, that are going to experience these same problems. And they're not going to have that support system. So they're going to struggle on how to pick up the pieces in their life. So I wrote this book as a way to get them to see that no matter what your dream is, as long as you stay dedicated to it, you can reach it, you know, because everybody does not have that support system. And the same thing for adults. You know, you got a dream, leave it. Never let anybody tell you what you can or you can't do. Because from where I grew up and came from to the point where I'm about to be Dr. Constant, and all that I achieved playing football, it is a pure miracle. It is faith. It is hard work. It is dedication.
Marvin, as you know, I look back, and I don't want to highlight too many of those guys, but you know that 1999 team, I've been around a lot of football teams. That was one of my first years of covering Alabama football. I started in the media business in 2000, but sort of preliminary there in 1999. That was a close bond of the team, because I know you guys are still close today, and I can, you know, sit here for the next 30 minutes and count guys, and it was almost like unique brotherhood. And I know it is. It's a fraternity when you play at Alabama. But that 99 team was very, very close. And not only was it close, I think that really probably paid dividends in what you guys were able to accomplish.
Oh, we were very close. You got to realize we all live in the same complex. So when you're in that close of proximity with guys, you know, you're going to see them on a daily basis. You know, we did pretty much everything together, whether it was going to class or skipping class to go fishing or going to work out, whatever we were up to, whether it was good or bad, we were usually doing it together. And that, you know, that we were able to carry that onto the field. And no matter how much, you know, of competitors we were, we still were friends at the end of the day. You know, I can think of one day in particular when we were in practice, Terry Jones Jr., you know, he runs a little dig route, and he kind of lets up. Oh, when I tell you, I gave him probably the hardest lick he ever had in his career, and probably 3 to 4 plays later, I'm standing by a pile, and I just feel like somebody hit me with a truck. And I get up off the ground, he's standing over there laughing. I mean, but that's just how close we were, you know. But we were always competitive, but we still had that same brotherhood, those ties, that closeness, that helped us on the field to win games.
And Terry's over in Atlanta, right? Am I correct?
He is.
Yeah. I thought he was, no doubt. Marvin Constant, you guys have got a lot of Alabama guys that make your home. I believe Dwayne Rudd's over there as well, if I'm not mistaken. So a lot of Alabama guys living over in the city of Atlanta. Let's talk a little current Alabama football, because I know you have your opinions. You no doubt a proud alumnus of the University of Alabama, but I know 2013 was what we say was disappointing, but still 11-2 and able to win 3 out of the last 4.
Right. Well, you know, the season for me, I got to take my hats off to the guys, because they've set the bar so high that you take a 2-loss season, you consider that to be a disappointment. I mean, any other program, they take a 2-loss season and they'd be, you know, head over heels joy for that. So, you know, I got to take my hats off to them for the body of work that they put together since 2008, 2009. It has been spectacular. I mean, what other group of guys do you know can walk out of a college and say they have 3 BCS national championship rings?
Very few, if any.
Right.
And I don't think, Marvin, I don't think it's one of those things that's ever been accomplished, but I don't think it will ever be accomplished in the future, even including Alabama in that conversation.
Right. I don't ever see that happening again. And, you know, going forward, I look to see us, you know, put the pieces together just a little bit better defensively than we did this past season. Because, you know, looking back at it, you got to be honest with the situation. This defense, you know, was not as good as the last 3 that we've had. Yes, they were young. So you have to take that into account when you're grading and measuring them compared to defenses of past. So not taking anything away from them, they were very good. So, but going forward, you just want to see them put together just a little bit better.